I'm Karen Plaviak, the SCI coordinator for Alternatives Medical Clinic. And I'm just going to give a presentation today and update you guys about what's going on. There's some new people here I know who aren't familiar with us, so this is a good opportunity to remind you who we are and then what's going on. So before we start, I'd like to start with a word of prayer. Honey, can I enlist you? Because you don't need a mic to pray, please.
Heavenly Father, we do truly praise you and thank you for this day that you have made, that we can rejoice in and be glad. I pray right now for this presentation, for our understanding of life and how you value life and how alternatives value life. And we pray for Karen that you would give her wisdom in her presentation and give us understanding ears. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So I'll hopefully have time at the end for some questions, but sometimes I get carried away. So if you have a question as we're moving along, and you just raise your hand and I will call upon you, and we'll go from there. Okay, not working. Alternatives Medical Clinic, let me go ahead. Who we are. We were founded in 1995 as a medical clinic, but we've been in existence over 30 years, starting with a little pantry that had, a pantry that had diapers and helps for moms. And from there went on for the women who were more and more concerned for other women and men, families, to be able to have the services they needed, especially in a time of need. Okay, Lord. Whatever you say. I don't really know what that meant. But wow. I'm nothing. Am I okay, Brian? Did I do something? I'm too close to a speaker? Oh, you're bad. Okay, good. Give me a heart attack. Yeah. I'll talk a little bit more about the services as we move along. We have two clinics. We have a fixed base downtown Escondido, about a block from the old hospital in Palomar Hospital, a little further away from the newer one, on the corner of 2nd and Juniper. And then we also have a mobile unit. Right now, our mobile unit is at Palomar Colleges 2 days a week. It's at the one in San Marcos on Mondays, and then Rancho Bernardo, which is a new extension for Palomar, on Tuesdays. And again, I'll talk more about those services. What do? We provide confidential, compassionate care to women and men who need to find out if they're pregnant and the options that are available to them. And further on, I talk about the expansion to doing STI testing. So we're now doing STI, STD. I'll start with what that means. STI is the medical terminology, sexually transmitted infection, because an infection can turn into disease. You can have the HIV infection, but it doesn't mean you have the disease. So technically, it should be STIs, but when you say that to most young people and college students, they're like, what's an STI? Because STD has been in the common vernacular for so many years. So I will use STI, and you'll know I mean STD if you're not used to that term. And then we're also, 3 times we've had AAHC accreditation. So we're the first in California to earn this status, and we're the first licensed clinic in the United States to have this status. And what this is if you're familiar with hospitals, they have a accreditation where a team of people come in and they look at a vast array of the services you provide and how you provide them, and then they basically grade you and they say you are standard, above standard, you're doing good, not so good. Kind of like the Better Business Bureau. When you go into a restaurant, you see those little grades. And so we started in 2012 with that, and it's every 3 years, and so we just did our third, and we passed with flying colors. Thanks the Lord. How are we funded? So we're a 501c3 corporation. It's a community effort, and basically, you guys is how we're funded, people in the community. I'll talk a little bit more about that too, but it's community members, businesses, churches are a big, and then our fundraisers is a way that we are able to continue. And then the costs are really minimized because we have such a high amount of volunteers. So we have volunteers in administrative work. We have volunteers in the health professional. We call them advocates, but basically they're counseling in that part of the healthcare appointment where it doesn't necessarily need to have a healthcare professional. And I'll talk a little bit more about that. So what are our services? We started out basically with pregnancy testing. And it's complimentary, which means it's free. I think free is in. When we first started, for marketing purposes, it was complimentary. Kind of the boutique clinic that gave complimentary. But now millennials like stuff that's free. As long as they vetted it and it's good and it's getting good ratings, they'll take something that's free. So verification of a pregnancy test for prenatal care. So in the state of California, if you need help with your pregnancy, you have to have an official document saying that you've had an official pregnancy test. That's one of the things that we provide. Also for any other services. And a lot of times your insurance company needs it for you to continue care. And then the limited obstetrical ultrasound for diagnosis, which were the pictures you saw in the beginning, that is, do you all know what an ultrasound is? It's basically sound waves that we're either placing on the abdomen or vaginally to look in utero, and those sound waves give us pictures. And from those pictures, we're looking for certain structures. There's basically five things that we're looking for structure-wise that we give the doctor as far as pictures for him to diagnose, but there's three things we're looking for: a baby in the uterus for a heartbeat. And why would we want that? The reason that we have that is so that you make sure that your pregnancy test is not just a pregnancy test, that there's actually a baby in the uterus. And that's important if you're somebody who is considering abortion or you're not sure what to do. It could be that pregnancy will never move forward. It could be that we'll look in the womb and we'll see a baby and we won't see a heartbeat. Or we'll see nothing, empty. Or we'll see a baby with a really low heartbeat, should be twice the mom's, and we're just barely seeing a heartbeat. So that pregnancy will probably end. It doesn't really make a lot of sense for you to go have an abortion if you have a pregnancy that's not going to continue, especially considering all the physical, intellectual, emotional, psychosocial, and spiritual ramifications that abortion causes women. We increased one of the things, and I'll go over that in 2019, but we also do STI testing. We do the big four, chlamydia, gonorrhea, HIV, and syphilis. And then for those that are really high risk, we move on to Hep B and Hep C. And I'll talk a little bit, I think, why we've done that as I get to more of the presentation. And then helping women to get into prenatal care, adoption referrals, post-abortion counseling. In our Hannah's Closet, in our compassion physical needs department, we have baby clothing, formula, basically needs for babies, what we provide. And the way that you get that is by earning baby bucks, either by visiting the clinic or there are other ways. And other support services, lots of classes, referrals, scholarships, one of the we've had for a few years now. So we've had, I think most of them have been teenagers coming through from the local high schools. The most wonderful one that I love is a father who's taken over raising a child and applied for a scholarship, and this is for college. So you can give actually to just the scholarship fund also. And so we have young people continuing their education. A lot of times that's one of the reasons that they want to choose abortion is they cannot, they think they won't be able to meet their goals that they have for their life. So what happened in 2018? So I'm happy to say when I was here last year, I said we were implementing our new name, Alternatives Medical Clinic, because we're now inviting men into the to the clinic. So something with pregnancy in might not feel so welcoming to a guy walking up like, why in the world am I in a pregnancy clinic? So that was accomplished. You all know AB 775. Everybody knows what that is. So that is a win. Went through the Supreme Court. Was brought back down. We had to wait a little bit, but the case was dismissed for us. And now was struck down, and it was. Now, does that mean they're finished with us? No. There will be new laws. There's new laws in other states. And as long as we're doing this, there'll be laws that they'll try to enact to either decrease our services or make it so that our services are not legal. But that's okay. We just keep fighting the fight. So we give God the glory for that. And then the STI testing and treatment program. The wonderful thing about doing this for a living is every day I get to see the hand of God. And about 8 years ago, Pam Robinette, who is now our nurse manager, and I were at a seminar. It could have actually been 10 years ago. And after we started talking about STI testing, we went in the parking lot, and Pam, being Pam, said, "Let's just pray, Karen. I know you have a heart for this. Let's just pray." Well, it's been 8 years, ladies and gentlemen, and this last year, 2018, and now into 2019, we're doing STI testing. And it's so important in this day and age. I'll talk a little bit more. See, I'm going to hold your attention. You're going to listen so you can find out why it's so important. And then Pam Robinette, I stepped down as the nurse manager. I'm now the STI coordinator, and Pam Robinette has come in as the new nurse manager. She's worked on and off at the clinic for over 10 years, maybe 15. I've been there since 2000, I think. We hired her about 5 years after that for different reasons. She had to leave, and now she's back again. And that's a whole God story. And then I already talked to you about the third AAA HC accreditation. And then the fourth quarter, been a little bit hard because two of our nurses stepped away, one to help take care of her mother, and she had some physical problems, and then another who moved out of town with her husband to a state that will be a lot more friendly for their family to be able to live and survive. It's not easy to make it here in California. And so that's a huge need. There's a prayer request. That's one of them, is that we need nurses. We need to hire nurses, and we need some volunteers, nurses. As the nurse manager, first of all, I have to stop for just a minute. She's going to kill me. She's shaking her head. My CEO is here today, Tammy DeArmas. Can you stand up, please? So there have been various times in my career when I would walk into her office and say, "These numbers are killing me. And how do we get more women in? And you know, they're going somewhere else. We want them to come to our clinic." Knowing in my head, you know, taking that thought captive, even while I'm saying that, "Karen, who brings the people to your clinic? I know you market, but is it the hand of God that walks that person in every day?" "Yes, Lord, it's my hand." But it's nice to go into Tammy's office and she can say the same thing and I can hear it verbally, even though my head's speaking it to me. So while I'm not really big on statistics, they can be encouraging. We had over 1,000 appointments last year, 325 pregnancy tests, about 200 ultrasounds. And the reason they're not all ultrasound is we only do an ultrasound on someone who's positive. And so with someone who's negative, those are the people we do STI testing on. If you have a positive pregnancy test, and everybody who wants STI testing gets a pregnancy test if they're a female, then we go ahead and send you on to care. Because one of the first things they do is do a complete checkup and then draw blood. And if you have an STI, then they'll treat you as a pregnant mom as opposed to someone who isn't pregnant. So medications are different for pregnant moms. And then Hannah's Closet in Education. This is an education program that we have, prenatal, postpartum. I think it's changing this year. We're going to be updating it. basically, the moms that come into the clinic, we do their appointment, and then we put them into this program. And they get a mentor. We call them an education facilitator. Yes?
For those younger people that are in the audience, yeah. Do you tell them what postpartum and prenatal
skin? Yes, we do. So I will tell, we tell our patients, but we'll tell you. Prenatal is before, natal being baby is before the pregnancy. So that's the first, second, and third trimester. We educate during that time. And then postpartum is after the pregnancy. So, and we also have parenting classes. The Hannah's Closet program ministers to a lot of people in a way that the health part of the appointment can't, because that's what they do. They minister to intellectual, emotional, psychosocial, and spiritual aspects of that person's life. So what we've started in the appointment, the healthcare appointment, we hope will go on into the education department. Spiritual conversations. There's an exclamation after that because... you can see that at least everybody who had a pregnancy test, well, actually, everybody who comes in the clinic, part of their health care is to have a spiritual conversation. So I alluded to this before, and I have it written in numerous places in my presentation, but we're a clinic that you can't come and be seen in 10 minutes. We're not specifically there just for that pregnancy test. So we're going to look at every person's in a physical, as in physical needs, and physical as in physical assessment, as far as healthcare, intellectual, where are they, how will I speak with them, you know, what's age appropriate, or even depending on their education, appropriate for this person. Somebody with a college degree who's in business, you know, the head of a company, is a little bit different than a teenager. So intellectual, emotional, what's going on? What's being elicited? Everybody, who's been pregnant before here? So you all remember your first trimester, what that's like. You have these hormones circulating, and if you're a guy, you do too, even though you haven't been pregnant. If you were with your spouse when they were pregnant, you probably remember those hormones when they cried at commercials, and if you looked at them wrong, they were a little weepy. And here they are in this first trimester trying to make the most important decision of their life, whether or not to continue their pregnancy, and they're dealing with all this emotionally. So we talk to them about those emotions, not just part of where they're coming from, but what are they? And then S, psychosocial, which I know doesn't, before y'all raise your hand, wait, Karen, it sounds like an S. I know it doesn't start with an S, but these are easy ways for the nurses to remember how to make sure they cover everything in an appointment. And then spiritual. So the spiritual aspect, we just ask a simple question as they do their intake, what kind of a faith background do they have, and we kind of start from there. And so as we're going through, everybody knows from the very beginning that that's what we cover. Now, that doesn't mean when you get to that, they're not going to fold their hands and give you this. Like, you know, you're not going to talk to me about that, which is fine. We're not there to proselytize and push faith on people. But when you're in a situation where you're trying to make this kind of a life decision, you want every resource available. And so faith, whether it's faith from the time you were a little kid and you have a remembrance of it and you're not following anything right now, or, you know, I don't really know what I believe. Talking about our Sunday school, an opportunity to share faith. Abortion vulnerable and abortion intent. So we've given this designation to people who come in, people who are vulnerable or intent. For instance, I had someone come in who said, I don't know if I'm going to get an abortion. So she's undecided. She's very vulnerable. But then when I'm talking to her, I hear, oh my, this person really wants an abortion. They're looking for reasons to have an abortion. That's what they're here for. How can I justify this? And so the nurses kind of designate after meeting with the patient where they're at. If they're very vulnerable, it's usually because, sorry, teenagers, they're a teenager. They don't have support at home. They don't have the support of a spouse or a partner. It could be that they monetarily, there's just no way. They're homeless. Something in their physicality, the physical needs that they have. We all know if you don't have food, water, clothing, and maybe a place to live, that's about all you can handle, is making sure that you have those physical needs before you can move on and make decisions as far as those other things in your life. Which is why alternatives is so important, because you're not going to get that information from any other type of clinic besides a pregnancy clinic. The people that are vulnerable, undecided, and just confused, and honestly, the Lord brings us people who, by faith, they know it's wrong, abortion, but they're just really struggling. They tell you your story, and you hear the anguish of the decision they have to make. No woman wants to choose abortion. They don't want to. But at that moment, or at that time, or when they walk in that clinic, they feel it's the only thing they can do. And that's where the compassion comes in. You know, we're pro-compassionate. We're not on the legal kind of, you know, statewide, all that kind of stuff side. The whole time we had our lawsuit didn't affect our daily work at all. You know, we had to initially send a bunch of documents, but every day we went in and we did the job that we've been called to do, which is to speak to women and speak to their heart and to give them the very best health care that we can. So what do we do? I've kind of reviewed a lot of this, that physical, intellectual, emotional, psychosocial, and spiritual. Les is taking notes because he's our newest patient advocate. Les is going to be starting to train to work on the mobile with the gentleman because we're at Palomar College and we can do STI testing for young men. And so we thought it'd be a perfect opportunity for him and his skill set, along with helping with some of the reception duties on board the mobile, to speak into the heart of gentlemen. I think nobody can talk to a guy like a guy can. So we're really excited about having him start that process. The physical, as far as what the nurses do, you do have to have a healthcare professional license. So we'll take nurse practitioners, doctors, nurses, LVNs, as far as helping with the medical part of the appointment. But there's lots of other things that we offer, as I've talked about, that we really could use services for. We do ask for a year commitment because it takes a lot to train somebody to do this. But we provide everything you need to do. So for all you nurses who are retired, or I don't even know about you, we give you exactly what you need. You go through an intern program, so you're not just thrown into a situation where you're not sure what you're supposed to do. And all of that, at the same time, making sure that we maintain the highest standard of care for women prenatal and for young men and women who are sexually active. So a medical appointment, if you know somebody who needs to come to be seen, and if you're a young person, if you're an older person, we ask that they make an appointment request. All they have to do is call and let us know what their need is. We do an evaluation to see if we're a good fit for them. We certainly don't ever want to keep someone from getting care immediately in the hopes that we can somehow, you know, give them something that they need. If their medical needs are such that they need to be seen in an urgent care or by their primary physician or the emergency room, that's what we're going to do. So that's the initial assessment that they get. And then we work together. It's a team. And it's a team, actually, not just with the healthcare professionals, but with everybody in the clinic. It's a small clinic, you guys. So there's only two now other full-time, and another one just hired. We just hired someone for events. And every morning, we start the morning with a devotion. We're now doing a TED Trip book, Paul Tripp, and prayer. And every day, we end the day with prayer. So that's the attitude that we start with, and that's the attitude that we end with. And obviously, in a situation where life and death, you're seeing it every day, it's really important to have that perspective as a healthcare professional or anybody that's in there. And it's so supportive. I've worked in a lot of situations where there's a lot of females, And mostly every day, it's all females. And I've never been worked anywhere where there's so much support and care and no drama in the staff. All the drama is saved for the consultation room and the ultrasound room. I talked a little bit about Hannah's Closet. If you know somebody who has a need, they need a car seat, a new mom, they need diapers, wipes, whatever, send them our way. It's a great opportunity for us to get them in. They go into our program, and then a mentor will kind of walk them through. They might need parenting help, whatever. Three times a year, they can just come in and get help. And our receptionist is fabulous, and she will talk to them. And everyone is trained to know how to assess needs, and so it's a good opportunity for us to bring them in. And if we bring them in, then we have an opportunity to speak to them about their faith. So for 2019, as I said, we're going to hire and or find some volunteer healthcare professionals. There's three nurses hired right now who are running two clinics. So we're a little stretched, but God is faithful. And so that's a big prayer request. We'd like to increase our sexual health services. We started in September of last year. We were not doing the mobile, and now we'll be starting the mobile this year. We have, I just met with the director of healthcare services on Palomar campus, and we're going to be working with them, but we should be starting that very soon. And then increasing the mobile out on the field. We need to develop some marketing and some ways to attract people to the clinic, and I honestly think with the free SI testing, we'll be getting a lot more people because there's a need out there. Pretty much in California, and believe me, it's only going to get more so, if you have a need, the state will provide an answer for you as far as medical. And so you have that opportunity to go to pretty much all the clinics that are around. Our challenge is we want them to come to alternatives so they're not just having, we call it treat and street. They're not just getting a test and a pill and off you go, but they're going through this assessment. So, and of course we think that's really important because that's good healthcare. That's the way healthcare should be. Our needs, again, nurses, Spanish-speaking nurses, education facilitators, male mentors. Our Earn While You Learn program has a parenting aspect to it, and we've been accepted by the courts in San Diego County. And so if there's a CPS case where a gentleman or a woman needs parenting classes, they can call us, and we can evaluate if what the judge has said they need will fit into our program. And our program is free. And for a lot of these parents, if they go online, it's $350. And some of the programs are quite expensive for them to achieve what they need to achieve with the courts in order to move forward with sometimes getting their kids back, sometimes just they're in the middle of a spat between a husband and wife. And so that's how the judge solves it, is by more education. And so that's a kind of a nice thing if, again, if you aren't sure of any of the things that we provide, you can always go on our website. And it's amc-ca.org is the one for donors, and then .com is the one for patients. And our medical director, Dr. Leone, was in a car accident last year, and he's been recuperating. And the whole time, he's had to stop his practice. He can't deliver babies or do surgery. But the whole time he's been in rehab, he's continued to read our ultrasounds and to be a resource to us. So that's incredible, you guys. That's such a blessing that he is so committed to helping us. And I know I'm so grateful for that. So we're praying. He's supposed to be coming back in February. Whether he'll come back full steam in his practice, I don't know. He's one of the partners in the practice, North County Women's Services in Escondido. So we're praying for him, and we would like more people to pray for him. So how can you help? Well, every day we pray for the women that walk through the door. We know that whoever God brings us, that's who's going to walk through the door that day. And so we ask for your prayers for that. As a matter of fact, Let's see. Can I have two volunteers? Yeah. I'm going to have these guys go up and down either side. Let me keep one of those so I can say what's on it. We have a little pray for us handout for you to remind you. Maybe you can stick it in your Bible or stick it somewhere if you have an office where you sit. And the Pray 139 that you see on here, this last one, or second to the last one, Pray 139, goes along with Psalm 139. And so what we're asking you to do is set your alarm on your phone. And if you work, you probably want to set it to, you know, vibrate and not ring or whatever, ringtone. Set your phone to 139, and then every day at 139, your phone will go off, and you have an opportunity to pray for alternatives. And maybe, you know, the pro-compassion movement. I say that now because people, I've heard that used by some friends of mine, and I like it because they're like, what the heck is that? So everybody knows what the pro-life movement is, and they kind of, you know, get their stone face on, and they're not going to listen to you. But the pro-compassion is like, what's that all about? So I have an opportunity then to share that. That's what we are. We're compassion for women, for men, for families. And it's our goal to educate young people going into the schools, churches, and giving education and empowering. Thank you so much. Empowering people to make good choices, biblical choices concerning their health care and the decisions they make about their life. Volunteer. You might have a skill that we need. Like Les, or like Eckert. We have all these new programs. Everything that we do in English, we have to have in Spanish. Everything in our education part of our website in English has to be in Spanish. So without our people who translate, we couldn't do the job that we do. And people who are Spanish speaking. So we're in the middle of, you know, kind of Escondido. We're surrounded by the barrio. About 80% of the people we see are Hispanic. Most of them are not Spanish speaking only. Most of them are second, third, more generation as far as Hispanic. So that's a glorious blessing. You won't know what you could do until you ask. And so Kena, who is our COO, and I'll give that information at the end. And if you go on our website, we actually have a listing of some of the opportunities that there are. And of course, give monetarily. We can't, you know, we have to keep the lights on. And this time of year, it's funny because in the morning, it's really cold. You get up and it's 40 degrees and you go into the clinic and it's like, oh, I have to have a woman, you know, because they have to disrobe for their ultrasound, if it's a vaginal ultrasound, and it's really cold. But then all of a sudden around noontime, it's really hot, and we don't want women fainting in the clinic, and you know how hot it gets in Escondido, so we have to keep the, and we have to pay our bill. Where am I going with this? We have to pay our bills. And so one of the ways we do that is by you guys, churches, I have to say, I say you guys, but this church is so supportive. The Walk for Life is coming up March 9th. The poster's already out. You can go online and sign up, and you always have been. We always have a nice showing. For how little, or you know, the size of our church, the percentage of people that show is pretty amazing. So thank you all. So that's March 9th at Kit Carson, good heavens, Park. If you have any questions, you can ask me, but again, you can find that information on our donor website. And that website that's listed there is the patient website. The .org is the donor website. So this is the scripture that I was talking about. You form me in my inmost parts, you cover me. In my mother's womb, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are all your works that my soul knows so well, and knows very well, sorry. I was thinking last night, I tend to wake up in the middle of the night a lot, the joy of having my grandkids in my home once a week, and one of the things we do is the children's catechism. And I'm not ashamed to say that I have much of the children's catechism memorized, and not the other catechisms, because my brain is old. And so I'm really happy. And it's only because we go over it every single Wednesday. But one of the first questions, of course, is Zosha, who made you? God. What else did God make? He made all things. And so you don't realize the import of that as you as parents or the importance of it until you're in my shoes and you see people walk in the door. They don't know who made them. You know, who made you? I don't know. We had sex. They have no concept of a incredible holy God, you know, who makes all things, who creates all things. That baby was not an accident. The Bible tells us that the children are a gift from God. So if they're a gift, are they only sometimes a gift? Are they not always a gift? When are they a gift? You think of 23 chromosomes in a sperm and 23 chromosomes in an egg. That egg lasts for 24 hours in 1 month. There's millions and millions of sperms that last 2 to 3 days. Those two coming together create a human life. That one cell person has everything in its DNA, if we pulled it out, about that person. Her nose, his eyes, that chin, the snore, whatever it is, you know. And this is what we tell people. This is what I tell people. Everything is in there. That one cell differentiates into every single cell that's in your body. If you studied any kind of biology, you know you're not all made of skin cells. You got a lot of skin cells. You got heart muscle cells. You got other kinds of muscle cells. You have brain tissue. You have spinal tissue. You have fluids. All starting from that one cell. If you think about it, it's pretty miraculous that that one cell person ever makes it to sitting in a pew. Because if enough of those cells do not differentiate and reproduce correctly, that life's not going to continue. So whose hand is on that little one in the womb? Well, you all know the answer to that. But the people that walk into my clinic very much don't know the answer. Or they're in a situation where all they're looking at is the circumstances around them, and someone just needs to remind them of truth, the truth of who they are in Christ and how much he loves them as a child of the living God. And if they don't have a living God and someone they can trust and hope in, that there is one and they can know him personally and he can walk them through these hard times in their life. I often will ask someone who's considering abortion, so what do you do? Where do you go when you're having to make really important decisions in your life? And they usually say, I don't know, I just kind of go with it. So go with what? So one of the things we're trying to do is ask open-ended questions. So tell me more. Go with what? We don't ask yes and no questions because that just ends a conversation. So tell me more. What does that mean to you? What does your faith mean to you? You say that you're a Catholic. What does that mean to you? The most frequent answer I get with that is, but I don't go to church. But what about Jesus? So we just point them back. And that's where the spiritual conversation comes in. Talking to them about who helps them in their time of need. And so one of the easiest ways to be in someone's life is to find out more about them using pies. And I do that at the grocery store, to my own dismay sometimes. But you just ask an open-ended question, and boy, if you want, people will share their needs. And these girls will sit, they're sitting across from me, tears coursing down their face, telling me all these things they're going through. And honestly, you guys, some of these stories, I get why they want to consider abortion. It's a really, really hard situation. And so that's when your emotions understand exactly how that person feels, that's when they need their faith. That's when they need truth. Because if you're depressed, you know, we get women who are postpartum. Had one recently, 3-month-old baby. She's pregnant. Still getting over the last one. There's no way they can afford a baby. What does she do? How does she feel about that? She's already exhausted. Are there resources for her? So that's where the PIESS comes in, talking about emotionally how she's doing. Some people need to be referred. They're actually struggling emotionally so much that they need help. Some people are in an abusive situation, and they can't feel like they can't get out of that situation. They have to get out of that situation by having abortion, or this person will continue to have power over them, and they don't know any other way out. Is there somewhere we can send them? Is there a place? There is. There's answers to all of these, and that's what we do at Alternatives. And we have a huge referral book, and also the nurses are there listening with compassion. And we have an opportunity then to say, for some people, I've had recently someone from the Baha'i faith, Muslim, and they still want prayer. They want you to pray to your God. They might not believe in Jesus, as far as that's concerned, the way you believe in him, but they want prayer. And praying is a perfect way to share the gospel. You can pray and ask the Lord Jesus to open their hearts, to give them truth, and to show them who they are, and that there's forgiveness of sins through Christ. And you can pray that prayer compassionate and lovingly, and that person, in essence, has heard the gospel. And I've pretty much never had anybody say, no, I don't want you to pray for me. Even if when I've asked them about their faith, and so will your faith play a role in your decision-making concerning this abortion? They're like, no, and I don't want to discuss it. That's when I always know there's a story. And usually it's because they grew up in what they considered an oppressive home, and they had, you know, a lot of problems with the church. And so hopefully before the end of the conversation, I'll have an opportunity to ask some questions where they'll just start spilling their guts and share with me. Because God wants to heal those things. You know, he wants to heal all of them. And pregnancy is a very pivotal time in a woman's life, and I hope in the father of a baby's life. And so it's a good opportunity for God to get a hold of them. There's those times in your life where it's like, this is bad. God's trying to get a hold of me. I've been through the valley of the shadow as far as, you know, depression and just not even seeing God anymore, and thinking, okay, you do the next thing. Trust in the Lord. Look to him. You know, all those things that have been indwelled in me, the catechism coming back. Who is he? Who am I? A child of the living God. Those things that you have to know. That's what these women need to know. They need to know that truth. And the men too. And that's our hope and prayer with STI testing, and I'm already going over, is that we'll be able to do the same thing with the men. So as we come in and speak to them about their sexual health, we'll be able to talk to them about how high a risk are they. So there's a risk assessment medically. And most young people think they're not having high risk tests till we go through the assessment. And then they're like, oh, well, then I guess I want all the tests. Sometimes someone will say, well, my so-and-so told me they had chlamydia, and now I need this test. And you go through this assessment, and it's like, oh, now I'm one of those people. And there's no judgment. There's no those people. And that's what I tell them. There's no those people. There's an idea that you don't have enough information about your health, your sexual health, to make the decisions you need to make. And those decisions need to be based on physical, intellectual, emotional, and then we go over the things that I just talked to you about. So I'm already running over. As you know, I'm pretty passionate about this, so I could continue. This is a baby at 10 weeks. So at 10 weeks, this baby, you can go to Planned Parenthood and take a pill and abort this baby at home. And 2 days later, if you're not cramping and bleeding, you can take a couple more pills and it will cause you to cramp, and you will deliver this baby at home. And I submit to you, is that compassionate care for women? No. So if at any time, Pastor's so good about preaching about this, but if at any time, and hopefully maybe even today, you make a decision, I have to do something about this, because all of us need to do something, and this is something, trust me, this praying is something. There's so much to do. Just as there is in many areas of compassion care, as far as helping the diaconate here, or helping an organization like our own, or other ones that are out there. Are there any questions? Dee. Yes.
The referrals that you say you have a big book of referrals.
Yes.
And then the other question was, on your statistics page, I noticed your numbers of encounters and appointments was 1,066, mm-hmm. but then the other numbers were like 400, 193, that kind of thing. Can you explain
sure.
what kind is it? just pregnant women that come in, or it sounds like, or it looks like from the numbers that
it's yeah.
women too that are needing medical.
That statistic is the number of appointments, not the number of people. So people can come in for different services more than once. We have unique, we have some other statistics like unique individuals. But yes, you know, we have people come in, just walk in and say, can you help me? I don't have any formula or whatever. So, but that though, that's, that statistic includes that those people. And what the other question was? Yes, there are not enough referrals healthcare-wise, Christian healthcare organizations to refer only to Christian. So some of the local places that we refer are healthcare related, and so they're not particularly not Christian or Christian. We vet them to make sure they don't do a refer for abortion, but a lot of them have a lot of Christians working because Christians are compassionate people. And so the places that refer people for shelter, for abuse, you know, child abuse, for violence, domestic violence, there's a lot of Christians working at those places. But no, some of them, not all of them, are actual Christian organizations. The first resource for every person is the church. We are a leg. We are part of bringing people back into the church. Back into their, in fact, I hear these situations and I think, if you were in a church, that should never happen. You would call your diaconate and they would help you meet that need. And if you asked every person in that church to give $20 so that this person could have their baby, they'd do it in a second. And so that's the first place we want to refer people back to.
Do you have resources for women that come in that are perhaps in danger of being in a place like yours?
Yeah. Oh.
Like if my husband or boyfriend finds out I'm here,
right.
I'm going to do this.
Yeah, so right across the street from Alternatives, actually, CSS is an organization that the woman can go, she can get a TRO, she can get counseling on child abuse, on domestic abuse, and there we have a little in our bathroom and in our front waiting room, we have a little card, and it says what to do. So it tells you, you know, whenever you can, get all your kids, get their birth certificates together, get this together, get this together. Now you're in a place where you can go to one of these, the organization across the street, and they will take you to one of their safe houses. So yes, there are safe houses throughout. And then because that's not necessarily a Christian organization, then what we want to do is make sure we get them hooked up with a church if they're interested, if they're a believer. Or if they're not, refer them to one of the local churches. Yes. Sorry. Okay. Oh.
Just curious, how do your conversations with community colleges and like Calamon, how do those go? Hi, I'm Karen. I'm from Alternatives. I have a proposal coming. And
you mean with a patient?
No. To get on campus.
Oh, I think I've shared that story here. Tammy and I were actually the two people that met with administration and the women's department. That was an interesting story. I don't really even have time for it because it's 25 after, and I think probably some kids are causing havoc because they don't have parents that are with them. But come up to me and I'll tell you the story. Or maybe I'll make a note and I'll share that. It's pretty, I'm telling you the God stories, really. I didn't really even share any patient stories with you today, and I have lots of them. I can't share everything. I had a really tough week last week, hard patients. And at the end of the week, someone called wanting to donate money. It's like, oh, that's so cool. And then she began to share with me her history concerning abortion. And she was a little bit older person. I'm not going to say anything enough that you would ever in a million. I didn't know who she was. I still don't know her, except that I know she's a sister in Christ who, as she began to share, I could hear her hurt. And that's the other thing that Alternatives does. We're there for people who hurt. These girls, some of them make a choice for abortion. And then we leave them with, you know, no matter what you choose, we're here for you. And they call. And we can refer them for help. And we can pray. And I was able to pray with her. And honestly, that was hard. I kept thinking, why couldn't have she been here? And I would have sent her in the room with these kids that are ABI and say, see, this many years later, this is still affecting my life. You need to not make this decision. But I can't and I don't do that. We protect everyone's HIPAA. We protect everyone's privacy. Some of them say it's fine to share. And I do have a couple good stories, but I just ran out of time. So
part two.
Okay, part two. thank you so much.